Yes, Lord, we worship you. Hallelujah. God, you said you're searching for people who will worship you in spirit and in truth, Lord. And we worship you this morning, Lord, with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You are the Creator. There is no other God besides you, Lord. You are the one true God. Lord, all the other little g's are nothing, Lord. The name of Jesus is above every name. And we thank you that by that name we can be saved, and by that name we can be healed, and by that name we can be delivered from demons and devils. We thank you that by that name and by the shed blood of Jesus and his resurrection power, we can be cleansed of our sin, set free from every chain of darkness. We come to you, Lord, this morning thankful that you opened our eyes, that you brought us to repentance and faith. And we thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated this morning. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. You know, we are at war, people. And unfortunately, at times, it seems as if the devil's winning. The Lord allows that. You know that, right? The cross, the devil thought he'd won. He thought he was winning the whole time. In fact, the Bible says, had he known what was going to happen, he would not have crucified the Lord of glory, right? So sometimes the Lord just allows things to look like they're going to hell in a handbasket, because then he gets greater glory out of what he does. Amen? But we're in a battle. I want you to go to Revelation chapter 12 this morning. You know, because we sang this song a minute ago, you are in control. Talking about God is in control. But it doesn't look like it, right? That's what most of the world would say. Especially the unsaved, they say it doesn't look like it. But there's a reason for that. You know, we look at our government, both our federal government here in the United States and our state government, completely controlled by the deep state, by the satanic, occult, human trafficking, evil people. And we sit back frustrated sometimes because we would like to see justice and judgment, and it seems like it gets delayed. But make no mistake about it, God's hand may be slow sometimes, but it's coming. But not before there's some more stuff. So let's read this. We'll go to this is Revelation 12. We're going to start about verse 7. Now this passage takes us to about the midpoint. Almost we get into the midpoint of the last 7 years, what the Bible calls the tribulation period or the 70th week of Daniel. But you're about there, maybe a little before this, because chapter 13, he says that the Antichrist is there and he has 42 months to continue, which is 3.5 years. So this is probably a little prior to this. But it just shows you what's going on. He says, and there was war in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. The dragon is Satan, that old serpent, the devil. It says there's a war going on in the heavens. It says, and then I'm going to read it again. There was war in heaven, and Michael's angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found anymore in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. What does he do? Deceiveth the whole world. Guess what, students in the school of ministry? That deceiveth there, guess what it is? Present tense Greek verb, ongoing continuous action taking place in the present. So this is what Satan does. That's what he's all about, deception. And he has deceived the whole world. Not part of the world, the whole world. It says he was cast out into the earth and his angels were cast out with him. Now remember this. They were cast out, him, Satan, the dragon, and his angels. All right, the fallen angels. We'll get to them in a minute. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they, speaking of us, the true church of Jesus Christ, the born-again believers, he says, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, that is, the blood of Jesus shed on the cross, and by the word of their testimony, that we're not ashamed to speak what God has done in our lives, how he saved us and washed our sins away. And they loved not their lives even unto death, meaning you're willing to die, if need be, for what you believe. Right? Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And this is where we are, folks. The devil is now, knowing that he has a short time, and now he is going crazy. That's right. And I mean crazy. Now let's go over, I'm going to show you something else that God allows. Well, let's go over to Matthew chapter 4. And as you're going to Matthew, I'll just quote up from Genesis. Remember, God gave Adam and Eve dominion over the earth realm. But Adam and Eve forfeited that when they sinned, when they listened to the serpent, and they sinned. So they basically turned over control, the lease, you might say. They sublet the dominion of the earth to the devil. All right? Now, that's part of what Jesus, when he died on the cross, he came, and it says he came, and he got the keys of hell and death again. Jesus took that authority back. He won it back. But just like there was D-Day invasion in World War II, there was D-Day and then there was V-Day. And between that time, between D-Day and V-Day, was the most intense fighting of the war. See, Jesus' crucifixion was D-Day. When he returns, will be V-Day. In between is where we live. And the war, the spiritual war, has never been more intense, more real, more vicious than it is now. And I can just tell you that as Satan realizes more and more that his time is running out, that he will soon be bound and cast into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years until he's released for a little season at the end of that, and then he goes into the lake of fire, he's going to fight. Like, well, I saw that. Somebody sent me that meme the other day about fighting like you're the third monkey getting on the ark. And it's starting to rain. We're going to have to fight. I want to show you this, though, where Jesus was tempted. There's an interesting thing that the devil says here that Jesus did not rebuke him over. You need to understand this right here. This is Matthew 4, verse 1. We'll start reading there. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungry. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But Jesus answered, said unto him, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus said unto them, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And again the devil taketh him up to an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them. I believe this is the mountain of God in the north. But he takes him up there, and he shows him all the kingdoms of the world, all of them. Somebody say all of them. And the glory of them, meaning the wealth, the power, right? All that that entails. And this is what he said to Jesus. He said to him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Now in another, I think it's Luke 4, he says, this power has been given to me, this authority. There's two words in the Greek anyways for power. You'll see it translated as power in time, but it's one is exousia, which means authority, and the other one is dunamis, which means actual, like, miraculous power. So when he says, all this authority has been given to me. So basically what Satan says, if you will worship me, Satan says to Jesus, I can give you all the kingdoms of the world, all the power and the money and the glory. Are we surprised that most of the elite of this world are Luciferians? They're Satanists? They're all with their 666, their one eye symbolism, all of that. All that stuff they shoot at us. The World Economic Forum, it's interesting. The World Economic Forum, there's three O's coming down through there. And the World Economic Forum, the three O's, they run a line through them so that they make three sixes. I'm beginning to wonder if Mr. Klaus Schwab might be the Antichrist. We'll see here in the days ahead. In fact, I saw where the ministry of one of the ministers, one of the political leaders in India, was interviewed yesterday or the day before, and he said that this group here, Mr. Klaus Schwab and their group, they rule the world. That's what he said. I thought, isn't that interesting? It's all out there, folks. It's everywhere. And, you know, we wonder why it seems like evil keeps winning. You know, this week we got, I don't know, how many of you received a COVID test in the mail? You did? Oh, yeah, we received COVID tests from the federal government in the mail. Now, I'm not using it. But let me tell you something. Why are they sending out COVID tests? Why are they sending out COVID tests? Because I'm telling you, here we go again. And guess what, Alabamians? We're stuck with Ivy again. We're stuck with Scott Harris again. We're in trouble. We got a bunch of these people right here that don't know what, either they don't know what they're doing or they know what they're doing. What was so sad, the concerned doctors yesterday, Dr., you know, the group with Dr. Calderwood, Dr. Tankersley, Dr. Vaughn. You know, I met with them privately. We had a good meeting. They're good folks, I'll tell you right now. But they put out yesterday, of course, the CDC just recommended that this vaccine, this COVID vaccine, be given to children, right? The concerned doctors sent a letter to Kay Ivey, sent a letter to Scott Harris, our state health director, begging them not to go down this road. It's pretty much clear evidence now that the most susceptible to heart damage from the shot are children and young people. This is in the data now. This is proven. This is not conspiracy theory. And yet, Scott Harris, we're going to give it. We're going to follow exactly what the CDC says. And the CDC is bought and paid for by who? Big Pharma. Here's another little interesting tidbit. I've been watching clips from the World Economic Forum. This lady said that more billionaires were made in 2020 and 2021 than ever before. And it's all connected to pharma. Billionaires. That COVID was the most profitable thing for the elite that they've ever had. They just brag about it. They brag about it. So what I'm saying is, folks, is that this nightmare that we've been in from 2020 on will continue. And they're going to release something else, probably another gain of function, coronavirus, probably mixed with, you know, who knows, probably mixed with platypus, duckbill platypus, you know, excrement or something that will create, another problem. It's just mind-blowing, the mad scientists that we have that are just creating new ways to kill us. And then it's amazing that they have a vaccine ready, right? so they can sell billions and billions of doses, and they don't care what it may do to you, what it may do to people. The stories are just unbelievable, what's going on. And I sat back, you know, and I'm not going to lie to you. I wish we could have somehow penetrated this evil system, but we couldn't do it. And so what we're going to have to do is deal with it. And they're about to leave us no recourse, if you know what I mean. But this is where we are. We live in a world that is controlled by Satan to a great degree because we gave him control. Adam and Eve gave him control, and we give them control. Let me show you. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. Chapter 4. I'm just winging it this morning, y'all. I just wait now until the Lord drops something on my heart here. With 2 Corinthians 4, let's read from verse 1. Paul speaking here by the Holy Spirit. He says, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy," and here's a word for us, "we faint not." Now think about this before I read this, the rest of this. Remember, the Apostle Paul, Peter, James, and John, the disciples, the early church, had to live under the rule of the Roman Empire, right? The emperors. It was not a favorable political atmosphere, right? And yet, they thrived. Yet, the church grew. Yet, the power of God moved. And it ended up the Apostle Paul standing before Caesar preaching the gospel to him. It ended up Paul as a house arrest within Caesar's household, leading many of Caesar's household to Jesus while under arrest. You hear me? Augustus, Herod, Felix. All these Roman officials heard the gospel preached with the anointing of the Holy Spirit and power. It said Felix trembled. Augustus said, "Paul, who was it? The other guy said, Paul, you almost persuaded me to be a Christian." Agrippa. I knew it was an A. Agrippa. You almost persuaded me to be a Christian. I think about Felix, though. You imagine what kind of anointing was on that sermon Paul preached, that Felix is trembling, a Roman, a hardcore Roman politician, trembling before just a man in chains preaching. That's going to be us, folks. "So therefore, seeing we have received this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. But we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness." Boy, I've met some crafty politicians. "Nor handling the word of God deceitfully," like they do, "but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God," little g, y'all see that? "The God of this world system," so what it's talking about, "hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." But he says, if our gospel is hidden, it's hidden because the God of this world, Satan, the dragon, the devil, blinds the minds of people. He deceives them. He's crafty. He's a deceiver. He's a liar. He pretends to be things he's not, but then moves in and blinds the mind. And so the only way that people can be set free from this system and from his power is that the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ has to shine in their minds. Now, folks, how do we get the light of the gospel of Jesus to shine in their minds? We pray, we fast, and we preach boldly without fear. The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. We don't hold back. See, I'm not ashamed to say there is no other way to heaven but Jesus Christ. There is no other God but Jesus Christ. There is no other creator but Jesus Christ. There is no other way to have your sins forgiven but Jesus Christ. There is no other way to be raised up from the dead and have eternal life in heaven. There is no other way but Jesus Christ. Muhammad was a liar. Buddha was a deceiver. He was deceived. Krishna, all the other things, all the other religions. It's a lie. It's always been lies. Jesus, why Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. He said, if you try to come up some other way, you are a robber and a thief. There is only one door. Jesus said, I am the door. He said, I am the gate. I am the shepherd of the sheep. Nobody comes but through me. There's only one Lord, one faith, one baptism. No other way. And we're living in this time period where people's minds are just blinded and deceived by this devil and his angels. But not us. And the people that we're going to reach. And I'm not talking about just this church. I'm talking about true churches out there. There's other true churches. There's true Christians scattered across this nation and the world. I hear from them. I hear from them in England and Australia and Canada. All across the world. God has his people scattered about. What is it, Bucko? We ain't going out like punks. Not going out like punks. We are going to do what Jesus said. What did Jesus say? Let your light shine. Well, what if they put me in prison, Pastor Dean? Then you're in good company. They put Paul in prison. They put Peter and James and John. They're all in prison at some point. For what? Telling the truth. Telling the truth. Telling the truth about Jesus. Telling the truth about what these wicked people are doing. Exposing them. I love it, man. The fight is only going to get more intense in the days ahead. Let's go to well, we won't go to that one yet. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2 real quick. Ephesians 2, something the Bible tells us. The people who are not born again, who don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, who have not been through deliverance and a good house cleaning, the Bible is very clear that these spirits, these demons and fallen angels, they work through these people. All right, let's read it right here. Now he says, and you, and of course, Paul's talking to the Ephesian church who were saints and believers. He said, you hath he quickened or made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin, speaking that Jesus made us alive through his death and resurrection, and our faith in him makes us alive. Being born again makes us alive again. He says, wherein times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and the power of the air, another term for Satan. Get this, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. The prince and the power of the air, Satan, the demons, the dragon, that old serpent, the devil, Lucifer, as he's called. He works in. Somebody say he works in. the children of disobedience. Not on them, in them, through them. You want to know why you have such battles in this world? You're dealing with these forces every day. I don't know what people used to say when I would preach on spiritual warfare. They'd say, Pastor Dean, there's not a devil behind every bush. I said, no, they're not behind bushes. They're in your house. They're in you. They're in your children. They're in your church. They're in your pastor. Oh. They're in your deacon demon board. And believe you me, I've met quite a few pastors and demon boards that are full of these spirits. Because that's what, they don't just leave. They have to be cast out in Jesus' name. And most Christians and churches just live with them. Just accept them. But folks, you just understand, this is what you're dealing with every single day. Now, here's another thing. Let's go to Matthew 24. Actually, I tell you what, let's go to Luke 17 first. It's in both places, so it doesn't matter. Trying to save us from having to turn to both. I don't think we need to. Now, this is speaking about the second coming of Jesus. Let's go to verse 24 here. Y'all pardon my voice. There's several things that we know. We can know for sure we're in the last days, okay? And we're in this time. Remember, the devil seeing he had a short time. He's come down to us having great wrath. He's deceiving the whole world in every area. Pharmakeia, you know, the word sorcery in the Bible, in the New Testament, the word sorcery is the word pharmakeia. So there's no question that the Bible foretold the use of medicines, vaccines, to be one of the controlling factors in the last days. In fact, he said by the pharmakeia, by the sorceries, that men would be deceived. And this is happening. But let's look at this. Talking about the second coming of Jesus, he says, for as lightning that lighteneth out of one part under heaven shineth even unto the other part of heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. But first must he suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. And there's two things he tells us here. But as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives. They were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Now, several things he said here. Number one, he said, as it was in the days of Noah. What was going on in the days of Noah? Let me tell you what it was. Genetic manipulation. The fallen angels came down, and of course, the book of Enoch even gives more clarity. It says there were 200 of the fallen angels came down upon Mount Hermon and made a pact. They made an agreement. And the plan was, they knew the prophecy. The prophecy to Eve was that her seed would what? Bruise the serpent, right? He would bruise his heel, but then the seed of the woman, Jesus, the Messiah, would crush his head. He knew this prophecy. So what Satan's plan was to completely pollute the genetic makeup of mankind, to change the DNA of mankind. So the fallen angels having an ability, I don't understand why, but this is Bible, having an ability to procreate with human women, created a mutant breed of beings called the Nephilim, the Raphaim, the Emanim, the Zamzumans. There were a whole bunch of different ones listed in the Bible. This is why they were part human and part fallen angel. And these beings, sometimes they were manifested, the mutation would be, they would be massively tall, huge, giants. That's why the Bible says there were giants in the lands in those days and afterwards, right? Sometimes they would have six fingers, six toes. Sometimes they would have double rows of teeth. Sometimes they had very elongated skulls. These are all facts from history and archaeology, right? Well, when Jesus says, as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man, what is he talking about? I believe what he's talking about is several things. Number one, genetic manipulation. Satan trying to alter, change the DNA, the genetic foundation of mankind. And this is happening with mRNA. I don't care what they tell you. Jennifer Doudna, one of the inventors of the CRISPR-Cas9 technology, testified in a TED Talk in 2015 that mRNA was changing DNA. It's that simple. Am I right, Chitra? Our theoretical physicist here says I'm right. She admitted this, that we could make designer human beings, that we could do anything we want now. We can write code into DNA and make it do whatever we want it to do. So when they tell you that mRNA is not affecting DNA, they are liars. So number one, days of Noah, altering DNA, changing DNA. Number two, the fallen angels' interaction with mankind, close interaction. What we're having now, what you're about to see, the whole alien thing. There's no such thing as aliens from galaxies far, far away, because there are no galaxies far, far away. That's the first lie you've been told. The second lie is there is no other entities out there apart from human beings, the devil, demons, fallen angels, and God's true angels. That's it. That's the only things roaming around this place. No Star Wars. No little bar with a beep, 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 beep. None of that. No Wookiees, Ewoks. What was the, he was a Wookiee. He was a Wookiee. Come on, man. It's been a long time, right? There's none of that. But when he says, as it was in the days of Noah, and we had fallen angels interacting closely with human beings, that is what we're going to have in the days ahead. That is why even now, the government of the United States, which is fully corrupt. Corruption is not even a good word anymore. There's got to be something worse than corruption. But they're fully in league with these demonic powers. Right. Now, I like I said, I've been on an email back and forth with the former Canadian Minister of Defense, Paul Hellyer, who either he's completely in this thing, he's part of it, he's part of the lie, or he himself is deceived. He actually believes there's four different types of aliens, and some are good and some are bad. All of that is nonsense. It's all nonsense. It's the biggest deception that Satan is going to put on mankind in the days ahead, and he's been setting people up for it since about the 1940s. Roswell and everything else. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't doubt that they have bodies of entities that aren't fully human. Because they exist. But see, people, I believe world leaders, some of them have been shown these things and fully believe and actually probably have been introduced to these beings already. And many of them are following the plan that is being mapped out. And that plan is for the UN to be a world government, for one man to be in charge. Make sure we get all the guns. Make sure everybody's vaccinated. Make sure everybody has a chip implanted so that everything can be tracked. Everything. Matter of fact, they're even talking about now, the World Economic Forum the other day is talking about, they've got a tracing app now for your carbon footprint. So you'll know everything you do. You're going to be tracked on, like, if you cranked up your car today. They're going to know everything. They say it's for you. You think it's for you? No, it's for them. And then what did I learn about Klaus Schwab this week? Klaus Schwab, three lines down from the Rothschild. Yeah, he's a Rothschild. So, this is what we're living in. But Noah, the days of Noah. Remember, because see, here's what people don't understand. You have the fallen angels. The fallen angels and demons are two different things. The demon spirits are the departed spirits of the dead, Nephilim. Meaning the giants, who were part human and part fallen angel, when they died, God said their spirit can't go to heaven. Certainly can't go to heaven. It's not time for hell. The judgment is not yet. So they were allowed to roam the earth. This is what enters people most of the time. It is the departed spirits of the Nephilim. That's why the Bible doesn't give you that specific. It'll say that the fallen angels, basically all of them, the vast majority of them are chained. So what is a demon spirit? Unclean spirit. Well, Enoch clears that up for us. All right? I believe Enoch is legitimate. Enoch 1, found in the Dead Sea Scrolls, I believe it's legitimate. But we know that. Now, he says in the days of Noah. The second thing he said there. So the alien deception is coming. I'm going to do an update. I've done like 3 or 4 sermons on UFOs and aliens. I'm going to do an update on it because they're about to spring that one too. It's about to. The day's coming. It's going to be like Arthur C. Clarke's Childhood's End. They're going to reveal themselves, who they are, right? They're going to be here. Show up on TV with world leaders. It's going to be the whole disclosure is going to happen. And most of the world's going to run after it, and they're going to tell them that they're the real creators of mankind. They seated us here, the whole Prometheus lie. All of that's going to come about, and it says that people are going to be so deceived, they're going to run after this. Just like the stupid people on Independence Day. Take me! And if you don't think I'm making this out, look, one of the top MIT astrophysicist guys, he's a Jesuit priest. What's his name? Guy Consul Magno. Monsignor Consul Magno. He said that the day is coming, we will look to the aliens as our saviors. The Pope, Pope Francis, rather, has said he would baptize aliens if they showed up. The Vatican, we know, has the elongated skulls underneath the Vatican. We know about all that. They've done DNA tests on true elongated skulls. They find out, guess what? Human mother, unknown father. I mean, this is all out there. It's all L.A. Marzulli's had the DNA test done on the skulls he's found in Peru. It's interesting because what was that movie? We saw one of the worst movies I've ever seen in my life. Probably one of the last times I went to the theater. We saw, what was it called? It was one of the Raiders of the Lost Ark. The Crystal Skull. Oh, it was horrible. But the whole thing was trying to connect the elongated skulls to what? To aliens. Yeah, no, they're not aliens. They're Nephilim. They're fallen angel, human being, offspring, genetic mutation, manipulation. But that alien deception, the alien deception is coming. And the whole world's being set up to be deceived by that. Second thing he said was the days of Lot. As it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the days of the coming of Son of Man. What do we read? Dom just completely controlling the time of Lot. Not just homosexuality, militant homosexuality. In fact, pull this up, Genesis 19, the verse where it says when the Lord said he heard the cry. I'm going to bring this. It's all. I'm good. It's only 45 minutes in. It's just the introduction. I'll bring it around. All right. Because we didn't start till after 11 anyway, so we're good. But I'm trying to give you the three things today. These three things that are absolutely makes it absolutely certain we are in the last of the last days, in this time of the devil's great wrath. Now, yeah, here we go. So we know that the angels came to Sodom and Gomorrah and the five cities of the plain because there was militant, rampant sexual perversion, particularly homosexuality. But I'm going to show you it wasn't just homosexuality. Because this verse here, Genesis 19, verse 13, the Lord says with the angels, for we will destroy this place because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. Now, the days of Lot. Remember the angels came and you know, the men of Lot, they weren't even satisfied with each other anymore, their gay bars. There was only one little house of righteousness in Sodom, only one little light, and that was Lot's home, and it was messed up. But when Lot took the angels in, the men of Sodom wanted to beat the doors down and get the angels and rape them. They weren't satisfied. But this shows not only did they not care, did they not have any morality whatsoever anymore. But when this verse right here says the cry, God said he came to destroy Sodom because of the cry of who? The homosexuals? No. I'm going to tell you it was the cry of the little ones. Because when you have that much sexual perversion going on, you also have pedophilia. You also have incest. You also have horrendous things happening to children. And this is where we are in our society worldwide now. We were with the Demopolis Police Department, took a tour of the police station. Sergeant Tank, he was an awesome guy. He took us back to their cyber investigation room. He said, you would not believe the people we bust in this place. One of the top ones, he said, they caught in Demopolis, which is just a little town in West Alabama. He said, we busted a guy high up in FEMA who drove all the way from another state to little Demopolis, Alabama, to meet what he thought was going to be, what, a 12-year-old? From Minnesota or something like that, Wisconsin, from way up north. Drove all the way down here because he thought he was going to get him a 11 or 12-year-old. This is in Demopolis. He said, you would not believe it. You would not believe the stories I heard just campaigning these last 2 years. And they get away with it, folks. They get away with it because there's judges in on it. There's district attorneys in on it. I believe there's even higher officials than that in this state that just let it go, just let it happen. That's why they didn't want anybody like me because it would have been a nightmare for them. Nightmare. I've been like Oprah, except you going to jail, and you going to jail, and you going to jail, and you going to jail. You get a cell, and you get a cell, and you get a cell. But that's not all. In that problem, go with me to the book of Joel. And this is what makes my heart heavy. This is why I know there's a hell. Y'all want to know why there's a hell? You know what? Bring it up, Joel chapter 3, verses 1. Start at verse 1. This is how I know there's a hell, and there's some people that's going there that's going to be punished, the smoke of their torment is going to go up day and night forever and ever and ever. Well, let's look at the context of it. He said, for behold, in those days and in that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, but basically when I bring them back as a nation, I will gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat, which is the valley of Megiddo or Armageddon. And I will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage, Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. That is the creating of the Palestinian state that's coming. So this is about the end here, and it's coming. When you see the nation of Israel parted, the land parted, that's a sign. It's almost here. Next one. He says, and they have cast lots for my people and have given a boy for a harlot and sold a girl for wine that they might drink. What do you think that is right there? Human trafficking. Children trafficking. It is such a huge issue. God put it in the Bible to let us know that this would be a problem in the last days like you would not believe. And folks, I want to tell you, here's what's sad. We think Alabama is a red state, conservative state, Christian state, and we are eaten up with this perversion. The private conversations I had with people telling me it's going on in this neighborhood, behind these houses, behind these trailers, da da da. I mean, just over and over and over again. It's going on right here. It's going on here. This person was going to talk about it. They're dead. They're dead. They're dead. This is Alabama. This is just Alabama. Can you imagine Illinois, New York, California? One of the reasons that they're willing to take money from the Chinese, they're willing to take money from anybody. One of the reasons they had to get the Dominion machines and they had to make sure they get their people in is because they're covering this up. They got to cover this up, folks. That's why the ones got in there. Once the Bush family got in to the White House, that's when they start appointing the U.S. attorneys and the judges and all of them. I'm going to tell you, they're eating up with this. I mean, what's his name? Barr? William Barr. Let me tell you a little story about William Barr. Do y'all know the story about Mr. Barr? You want to know why he didn't do anything? Why he didn't investigate anything? Well, William Barr's daddy, you know what he did? William Barr's daddy ran a private school for young girls. All right? I think it was in New York. It may somewhere up there. May have been Washington. But he ran a private school for young girls. And guess who one of his teachers in the private school happened to be? Long time ago. One of his on-staff teachers in the private school. Guy by the name of Jeffrey Epstein. But here it gets worse. That while William Barr's daddy was running this school for little young girls, young little teenage girls and preteens, he wrote a book about basically having his own place, island, where he had a bunch of little girls as his little sex slaves. His dad wrote a novel about this. Now, why do I tell you this? Because you just need to understand how entrenched that this is among the elite establishment class, both Republican and Democrat, in our nation. You know, the whole Clinton Foundation, that came out in the news. Crimes against children, Clinton Foundation out of Haiti. Just about, let me tell you something. Anybody that's wealthy and powerful, that's got a foundation, that has something to do with children, should be investigated. Because this right here is rampant in our world. This is how you know that Jesus Christ is coming back. This is how you know that there's a hell. Here's what's fine. I was at Auburn University. This was years ago. I was preaching. That video is probably now gone. But I was preaching at Auburn University on the campus, open air preaching. And I wasn't even talking about homosexuality. I wasn't talking about, I went there preaching to Christians, lukewarm Christians. I said, you Christians that live this way and this way and this way. When I was preaching, I wasn't even talking to the lost people. But because at some point I must have said the word homosexuality, talking about Christians. Here they come. A professor and a whole group of her entourage, right? And what they wanted to start, start arguing. But the problem was they wanted to argue theology with me, which is a bad move, right? So here we go. What was interesting, they were talking about, nobody's going to hell. God loves everybody. Everybody's going to heaven. So I said, let me ask you something. I said, you believe Adolf Hitler went to heaven? Oh, yeah, Adolf Hitler went to heaven. Everybody goes to heaven, blah, 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 blah. I said, let me ask something. I said, so do you mean to tell me that the guy down here molesting a three-year-old is going to heaven? And the whole group of them, oh, no, he's going to hell. He's going to hell. Oh, so you do believe in hell. Oh, you know why? Because a lot of them were molested when they were young. That's where the confusion begins for them. Not everyone. And I believe some of the people who start off and saying, yeah, you know, I felt confused about my gender or about, you know, same-sex attraction and all. I felt that when I was young. Well, that's demonic. Demonic spirits come in there. But a lot of them were molested as children and brought that confusion and brought that demonic perversion spirit in there. But it was interesting. So then I got to say, so you actually do believe in hell. You just have your own standard of where that begins for people. And I said, God has his standard of where it begins. And I said, in the same Bible you're trying to quote to me to prove your point, talks about God's standard. Homosexuality is sin that if you continue in will damn you to hell for eternity. So is for the heterosexual. Adultery is a sin, sexual sin, that will damn you to hell if you continue. For the unmarried, fornication is sexual sin that will damn you to hell for eternity if you don't repent and get out of it. This is not trying to pick on one group. God says sexual sin outside of the marriage between a man and a woman is sin, and it is a sin unto eternal damnation if you practice it habitually, live a lifestyle of it. There's a lot of pastors and deacons that are in the same predicament that a homosexual's in. They're going to the same judgment. The good news is Jesus made the way for us to be forgiven and delivered from these things. And he's the only way. And I love that passage in 1 Corinthians 6 when he goes down through the list. Adulterers, whoremongers, effeminate, abusers of themselves with mankind. These are terms for actually homosexuality. Sodomy. And he says, such were some of you. Look at that. Well, go back. Let's read it. 1 Corinthians 6, he says here, go back to 10. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, premarital sex. He says, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, people that are married, having sex outside of their marriage, nor effeminate. This is where we get into the word catamite here. It actually gets into pedophilia here. Nor abusers of themselves with mankind, sodomy. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Do you see that picking on one group of people? No, he's telling you, here's the standard. Here's God's standard. You do these things, you practice these things, you live this way. You do not inherit the kingdom of God, period. Then he says, and such were some of you, meaning you used to be this, these things, but you're not anymore because you've confessed it as sin, asked for forgiveness, repented of it, turned away from it, and you're following Jesus. And because you're following Jesus in a real relationship, you're really born again, you are washed, sanctified, justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Folks, this is our only hope. This is the only hope for the world. Jesus is it. Now, one more passage. It's only 12 o'clock, see, and I can't let you go at 12. Can't let it happen. It's either got to be before 12 or after 12. I can't let you go at 12. Let's go to Revelation 13. I said one more passage. Maybe two. Maybe two. I'm just burning up in here. The Southern goodbye. Yeah, it takes a good 45 minutes. That's right. If you're Pentecostal, you are afforded three closings. What did I just say? 13. All right. Remember I said it, the Lord allows it sometimes to look like we're losing. Look at this. Now, this is speaking of the Antichrist and the Antichrist world government that's arising now via the UN, via the World Economic Forum, via all these different elitist groups. In fact, look, folks, the World Economic Forum, I have the screenshot in my phone. The World Economic Forum, Klaus Schwab and his group, signed a pact or a treaty or a contract with the UN. They are working together. They are fully working to implement the UN 2030 agenda. And a man's coming. But it says here about that. I'm not going to go into the beast and all that because that's... We'll go to verse 5 here. He says, and there was given unto him, speaking to the man that will eventually lead this UN world government, there was mouth given unto him, speaking great things and blasphemy, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. That's 3.5 years. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. Now here's verse 7, the verse that's hard for us to accept, but it's here. It says, it was given unto him to make war with the saints. This man, this world government as well, is going to make war against us, the true saints of Jesus Christ. It's coming. That war is biological, it's mental, it's everything. Eventually, it will become beheading those who don't submit. It was given to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. That's the part we don't like to hear. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear to hear, let him hear. So what the Lord's telling us is there's no dominion theology. You know, dominion theology says the church is going to take over the world and make it create some utopia. That's all nonsense. No, we're not. In fact, it's going to look like we're losing in the days ahead. It's going to look like the whole system is winning. The whole Antichrist beast system is going to look like they're winning. Doesn't it look like they're winning now? We got Joe Biden in the White House. We had Barack Obama. We had the Clintons. We had the Bush family, the most satanic, evil family probably in our nation's history. Made the Clintons look like little children. Pedophiles, we know. The Franklin scandal, all of it came out. It's in big books now, documented. People died. People went to prison, except for the ones that really should have went to prison, like George Herbert Walker Bush. But that's that we know now. He's a burning bush, right? It's true. Judgment may escape you in this life, not the next. He got away with it here, not there. I hate to know that man's punishment. If any man have an ear to hear, let him hear. This is where we are, folks. Now let's go to one more passage. I said two, so this is it. Daniel chapter 11. I'm going to end on a good note. Say, how can you do that? The end of this chapter, verses 21 through 24, talks about the Antichrist, what he will do. We're going to go over to verse 31, just letting you know the context that it continues in. It says, verse 31, "An arm shall stand on his part. They shall pollute the sanctuary of strength. They shall take away the daily sacrifice. They shall place the abomination that maketh desolate." This is what Jesus spoke of. So this can't be Antiochus Epiphanes in 160s. BC, cannot be him, because Jesus spoke about this. When you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place. So there's going to be another Jewish temple prayer or something on the Temple Mount. They're going to restart the daily sacrifice. It's going to be ended. The abomination of desolation is the Antichrist when he steps in there and says, "I rule this place. I am God." When that happens, it says, "And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries." But look at this right here. "But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits." But, I love that. The Antichrist is going to be doing all his stuff, but "the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits, and they that understand among the people shall instruct many, yet they will fall by the sword, by the flame, by captivity, by spoil, many days." Meaning, ain't going to be easy. It's not going to be easy. We're going to be dealing with, it's a war. Some of us will give our lives in that midst of that war. And that's okay. Because it won't be long. After all this, there's the sound of a trumpet. And the voice of the Lord Jesus saying, "Get up, come up here. Saddle up. We're getting ready to ride." So they'll see us again real soon. I love this. "And some of them," verse 35, "some of them of understanding shall fall to try them and to purge and to make them white, even unto the time of the end, because it is yet for a time appointed." We are there. It goes on, the next few verses goes on to talk about the Antichrist in detail as well. It's upon us, y'all. So let's stand this morning. I want to do. Toughen Up Buttercup. That needs to be a song. Toughen Up Buttercup. There's no question, folks. We're in the last days. And the devil has come down having great wrath because he knows that we have a short time. What do we want to do? I just don't know what song we ought to do this morning. Somebody, I tell you what, that's always a good one. "I See the Lord." Let's do "I See the Lord." The original, of course. He's coming back. Huh? Lindo Andy Park. Here we go.
"I see the Lord, and his train fills the temple. See the Lord, he is high lifted. can I? I see the Lord and His train fills the temple. I see the Lord, He is high and lifted up. Yes, You are Lord, and angels cry, holy, holy is the Lord,
holy,
and angels cry. And His eyes are flaming like fire. There's fire in His eyes. I see the Lord, and His hair is white as snow.
Sing with me, come on. Angels cry.
Angels cry. My sin has been forgiven. Thank You, Lord. Holy is the Lord. I bow before the Lord, and I cry,
And I cry. Take it one more time.
And I cry.
Yes,
I cry, holy, holy are you, Lord.
Yes, he's holy. You know what that means?
Heart,
he's different than us.
Mind, I cry out.
He's holy.
God who created all
no
things.
Sin.
And I bow my heart before you.
Yes,
you're holy and worthy and glorious and powerful. I honor you. I magnify you. I bow before you, Lord.
Holy is the Lord.
Yeah, come
I
on,
want everybody
one
to
time.
Tell me one more time. Come on.
And I cry.
Can we do it just one more time? In the balcony, in the cafeteria, everybody in this place tonight. And I cry.
And I cry. Holy, holy is the Lord.
Yeah. Go ahead, sing and praise.
Holy.
Yeah. Praise you, Lord. You are holy.